Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Florida Council of the Blind 70th Convention. Today is our opening session, but not our opening ceremony. That's tomorrow morning. So we are so happy you are here. I am not there. But I want to introduce Stacia Boyd to do this panel of wonderful panelists to discuss audio description and Central Florida. We have done amazing in Stacia, and this panel has been instrumental in what we have. So Stacia Boyd, you are up.
Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning? Yay! First of all, I see some familiar faces out there. I see Pam is in front. Tyson, is that you? It is. And Tyson, who's the lovely lady on your left? Katie Frederick? Katie, nice to meet you. And back behind them to his right, I see Alicia in the back. And there's a couple sitting right in front of that. I'm sorry, I don't know you guys. Yes. Isaac and Sherry, thank you, and welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're here. I'm going to take a second and introduce my other two panelists. And first of all, Katie, do you need your brailler? I thought you might. I can't use it, so there you go. There you go, baby. Exactly. It's the way we keep things really secure here at FCB. So I want to take a real quick moment and introduce my two panelists, co-panelists here. Thank you again, Sheila, as always, for everything that you do. And then I'll reintroduce myself in a few minutes later. But first of all, I want to start with Marcia, also known as Access Annie. She is the person who's really been the driving force in getting audio description for live performing arts in Central Florida. I'll let her introduce herself, but originally from Chicago, most of you guys already know her, member of GOCB, and she and I met in 2021 when she was trying to get some audio description for a show in Jacksonville. So here you go, Marcia.
Do you want to introduce yourself? Okay, I've been living in Orlando since 21, January 21, after wanting a place that's accessible to live. And I've always loved the live arts. So I went to town to try to get those done within the Orlando area. And that's how Sheila introduced me to Stacia.
Excellent. And over here on my right, your left. Hi, Janine. Hi, Dan. Hey, sweetheart, have a seat. We just got started. So on my right, this is Brian Fallon. Brian Fallon is the, what did you call yourself now? Managing director? General manager of Garden Theater in Winter Garden. And he and I have met each other for a little while. He is born and raised in Orlando, a graduate of UCF with a degree in political science. Legally blind since 14 with Stargardt's disease, and has worked as an event planner. I will let him introduce himself and Garden Theater.
Good morning, everybody. It's such a pleasure to be here, and thank you, Stacia, and Sheila, and Marcia. And as I said, I'm Brian Fallon. My title is changing daily. So let's just say general manager, because that tends to work. I'm so excited about bringing audio description, not just to the Garden Theater, but hopefully through our efforts with Stacia and with you guys, we will expand it to every venue in Florida in the South so that we have access to the performing arts just like everybody else. Oh, and my daughter Katie is a rising junior at the University of Minnesota Guthrie BFA program. She's an amazing actor, and part of I love theater, obviously, and part of my motivation is that I used to hear people talk about how my daughter has these amazing expressions and how the way she moves on stage, and I'm left out of that picture. So with audio description, hopefully those pictures will be filled in for us so that one day I get to actually see my daughter on stage.
Fabulous. And I am Stacia Boyd. For those of you who do not know me, I consider myself an accidental advocate. I knew nothing about audio description until around the year 2009, when with my other company, somebody contacted me about providing some equipment for an audio description program in museums. That's what my other company does. And I'd never heard of it. long story short, I started researching it, discovered the American Council of the Blind was hosting their convention in Orlando that year, and it was the first year they had provided the Audio Description Project's workshop on creating audio description. So in 2009, I went to my first ACB convention and entered a hotel with me and 1,000 other blind people and all of the dogs and all of the canes, and literally the most eye-opening moment, I think, and really life-changing for me. Over the years, I have worked with a lot of different organizations in the museum world, everything from Kennedy Space Center to Holocaust Museum Houston, not only creating our regular programming for those folks, but also audio description. And then thanks to, actually Janine is here right now. Thanks to Janine in 2021, remembered audio description at the Orlando Fringe Festival. And they were looking to start a program. And they reached out to me and said, can you create an audio description program for us for Life Theater? And I said, you know what? I was an actor for 20 years before I started my company. I know theater. I've worked in box offices. I was one of the box office managers at the Orlando Arena for a lot of years. I know the community. I know the people. If there's anybody else who knows how to do this, send them my way, but I don't know anybody. So we came up with the idea for the Audio Description Initiative with the goal of going from zero audio describe performances in Central Florida to this past year up through Fringe, we have provided audio description at over 24 performances for over 5 different venues with 6 different companies. And we have had at least 20 unique individuals come to see audio describe shows in Central Florida. So that's what we want to talk about. So today's session, I'm going to start a timer here. Everybody gets about 8 to 10 minutes. And I want to start by asking Marcia to talk about, you know, bringing in audio description from a patron's perspective. Marcia has been, like we said, Access Annie. The woman is relentless, and she has the experience of how to get to request and to make requests for audio description. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Marcia and set my little timer.
Thanks, Stacia. Okay, so what I first do when I decide that I want to go see something is I look on the website and try to find anything that would say about accessibility for those with blind or low vision. And usually there's nothing, has been my experience in the Orlando area. If you look in Chicago, you'll find things. You look in some other cities, you will find stuff. So then the phone calls start. And I start making phone calls, and it's frustrating, as you know, anytime you're trying to get something done that people know nothing about, because they will tell you, oh, yes, we have those devices, and it's for the hearing impaired, not for those with vision loss and stuff. So you finally have to get to someone who's going to, A, return your call, B, is going to actually listen to you. And a lot of times they even ask them, when they tell me, I know what audio description is, can you explain to me what that is? And that's when you hear the whole thing about the hearing impaired, or we have American Sign Language and stuff. So I always try to get a name and a number and, you know, talk to them about it. And here in the Central Florida area, then I've also introduced Stacia and the Central Florida Audio Description Project and stuff too, to even educate them further. And once you get them to agree to do it, what I've done is always try to invite other people who would also need audio description. So it's not just for me. And so I did end up joining the season ticket holder of the Broadway series. So when tickets open to season ticket holders, I have had at least 2 other people go with me that needed audio description or more. Pretty Woman was a pretty popular one that we had the most for. I also asked them to send me a program that can be used, on our computers, and that is screen reader accessible, and send it a couple days in advance of the, I could do maybe large print, but I really environmentally, I like the PDF version of it a lot better. And getting it in advance is way better too, in my opinion. And also, you know, just finding out then too, where do I pick up my device? Where do I have to return it? Can I give it to an usher? I can tell you at Dr. Phillips, they used to be, we want an ID. We want you to have to go back to the desk. And we've got them to actually let us give it to an usher now, and we don't have to give an ID. So all these kind of things, that there's a lot of moving parts and it takes a lot of work. But my goal is that these different theaters in Central Florida, through just learning more and understanding, are going to put things on their websites. And I know the Garden Theater has been working on that, which has been fabulous. And also, you know, those of us who take access links or paratransit, you know, where is the best place to be dropped off and picked up, and instructions with those kind of things. So a lot gets involved with the whole thing. Also, a lot of times tickets, you can't, their websites aren't accessible to buy tickets online too. I do typically sit in the accessible seats, partly because, you know, per the ADA, I can, and because I have a guide dog, it does give more room. It also then the testing of the equipment and stuff, because there has to be kind of a sound check and everything. And that brings up another thing. You want to make sure wherever your seats are that they test the equipment, and you ask them to do that, because sometimes the equipment doesn't work that well, or is going to be staticky, and have someone to give your feedback to.
While I have her here, then we have 3 minutes left in your time. Take a second and tell us a little bit about the whole comprehensive situation of when we're trying to make things easier for the venues, because that's kind of our goal, is we want to make sure that when you make a phone call that they don't send you back to the website. So what would you say when it comes to dealing with the websites? What's the most important thing? Is it a trained person being able to answer? Is it somebody who is just, what have been the biggest challenges and the biggest successes?
Well, probably the biggest challenges are the websites not being accessible. And also even digital tickets, there's been issues with. But getting someone that you can actually have a contact person to talk to. And I know that at the, like the Garden Theater, for example, Jean, I mean, this lady is amazing. Now, granted, too, it's a smaller theater and stuff, but those kind of things are just, I think, really, really important. And to do, and I try to even, you know, I've been to Las Vegas to go to the Mirage to see Beatles Love, and had audio description and things like that. And I've kept in contact even with some of these audio describers and just thanking them. And that's how the whole accessible anything got started, is because a friend of mine, her daughter does dance competitions, and they do the same routine the whole year, but kind of like with Brian, people come up to her and say, your daughter's expressions and things like that. Well, now she has a little video clip thing that she has to start exactly on time when her daughter's performance, but so that she can, you know, understand better what's going on with her daughter and stuff. But I think, again, just really getting a good contact at the theater and having a live person to talk to and their email, and also finding out the hours that they work, because a lot of times they might be off on a Monday. Or, you know, their days off are different because they're working the weekend in that.
And that's one of the things where the Audio Description Initiative really tries to come in and help the organizations make it easier. So before, when people would ask for audio description, the theater was confused and they didn't know what it was, or they weren't sure. They had no one to ask. There was no place to go to say, it's like, okay, here's how you can solve this problem. Contact these people and they will tell you. And then what we've put together are a list of best practice guidelines. Here's a best practice guideline for your front of house staff. Here's a best practice guideline for your website. Here's a best practice guideline for all of these different things so that we can make it easier for them. So for example, fixing the websites, good luck with that. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of places that there, well, even if they make their own website accessible, they're doing some kind of offsite ticketing thing that might not be accessible. So what's the easiest way to solve this problem? Have a person's name and phone number on the accessibility page. So that's what we request, is that so there's always a phone number and a name of a person at the top. That person has been trained to help people with disabilities, specifically people with blindness. So we're trying to make that difference. So speaking of, now we have made the connection. We've got the person requesting the audio description, and now we have the performer, the venue that's going to provide it. So let me turn it over to Brian.
Thank you, Stacia. So as I mentioned before, that when I was told, it was actually a reviewer in town who talked about my daughter's expressions, it really drove me to figure out what was out there. So I went on this search on my own to figure it out. And I ran into the Gala Pro system, which is used on Broadway. And I approached our technical director and he just laughed. He said, we can't afford that. And what it does is it's basically the same thing as when we watch, you know, Apple TV or Netflix or HBO, where they have the audio description. It's the same thing where it's a pre-recorded description. And it's timed with the show. So when the technicians are firing light cues or sound cues, there's also a built-in cue for the audio description. And it's a very cumbersome system. It's very expensive. And that was just a no-go. So I kind of felt lost in the ether of like, well, how am I going to get audio description to the Garden Theater? So then along comes Stacia Boyd. And the idea of doing live audio description appealed to me for a lot of reasons. One, it's employing a local actor. And because live theater is live theater, it's not always timed to the second or to even the minute sometimes. So the describers have to be able to be reacting to what's happening on stage and properly channeling the information to the guests. And as Marcia mentioned, and Stacia, even though I'm legally blind and have been most of my life, I don't understand how to do this. And I don't really know how to work with visually impaired people. I don't know many of them except until now. So Stacia came in and gave us a huge education. One of the hesitations from the venue side, from my business side, is that how much is this going to cost? And this is going to put a tremendous wear and tear on my staff, from marketing to operations to logistics. And the more that I talked to Stacia, the more I realized that it really wasn't that much. And that thankfully the technology was standalone. It did not, we just had to make sure the radio frequencies didn't interfere. But the technology is pretty straightforward and it does not have to integrate with our systems, which, I compare most large theater systems, not that we're a large theater, as a Ferrari. It's amazing when it works well, but it's very complicated. And when it goes wrong in a really bad way. So having the ability for the audio description to be a standalone technology really appealed to me. But then I realized that it's not just about the audio description. Like Marcia mentioned, it's from the minute a patron decides that they want to come see a show to the minute they leave the show, there's work. We were very fortunate that our group sales manager, Gene, really has taken the ball and run with it. And I would suggest for venues out there that your group salesperson is probably the best person to kind of manage this, unless you have an accessibility officer, because they are used to taking phone calls, dealing with groups, processing payments on their own. Because our group sales manager, she does not have a desk at the theater. She works from her house. So she is able to react to patrons who need their help. And it's all about all the steps that Stacia and Marsha have talked about of making sure that the website's accessible. Thankfully, we struck while the iron is hot. We just launched a new website 2 weeks ago. So when we were in the process of building the new website, we had Stacia help us with how to make it accessible. Our web designer said this is the most accessible website he has ever built. Not only for, thank you. I'm very proud of that too. It's not just for, I mean, we still have to have it tested, but we took all the suggestions that came from everybody that we could talk to about what to do. So there's the, for low vision folks, there's on the upper right-hand corner, there's the accessibility symbol that will change the contrast, zoom the screen, all that kind of good stuff. And then we've also hopefully made it accessible for the totally blind for their screen readers. And we did just like Stacia invited, there's a accessibility tab. You tap that and the first thing that comes up is vision. And the first thing that comes up is Gene Boone's name, email, and phone number. So yeah, it's been working out really well. We've been training not just Gene, but also all of our, we use volunteers for front of house. So we have a standard practice, a process for dealing with folks who are VIPs on how to escort them. Because that's not something a lot of people know about, how to escort a blind person, how to get them to their seats. How do we deal with concessions? How do we get them to the restrooms? Bathroom breaks for their service animals. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's not that daunting because you don't have to figure it out. Stacia has created and it's all there for us, so it's not that hard to figure out. It just, I would suggest having a dedicated person like we have Jean to manage your accessibility for not just, she manages not just accessibility for the blind, but also for our hearing impaired friends. So she, this is her world now and she loves it. And it works in, like I said, it works in really well with her role as group sales. And as I mentioned earlier, my goal, one, we are making sure that at least one or two performances for all of our shows are described. That's a non-pass. It's happening for every show. And if people request it, as long as we can get a describer. If it's just one person, we had somebody come a couple weeks ago to one of our last performances, Something Rotten. We brought in a describer for one guest, and that's fine. That is fine. It's great to have a group, but it's great to have just one guest. We're also doing touch tours. So if you come early, you can come up, get on stage. It helps you understand what the set is what looks like. Our stage management team is amazing. They brought out costumes. So they can feel, especially for Something Rotten, there were some very elaborate costumes. Actually, they have the Broadway costumes. They got to feel some of the costumes. Some of the larger costumes that if you don't, like, the big thing is you don't want to miss the joke, right? We've all been there. We've all been in a crowd, and something happens, and everybody's laughing except for us, right? And so thankfully with the touch tour, we were able to help fill in those gaps so that when a dancing egg comes out on stage, the blind folks understood what was happening and they could laugh along with the sighted guests. So that's the whole goal. I know that, as I mentioned, my daughter goes to school in Minneapolis. She, in Minneapolis, they have a tremendous audio described community. And in fact, my daughter's college does audio description for their college shows. So I would love for UCF and Valencia to pick up this mantle. I want every theater in town doing it, and I will do everything I can with my role at the Garden Theater and in Central Florida to make sure this happens.
I was going to ask you one more thing while I have you up here at the front. One of the cases that we always try and make is that absolutely providing audio description is a civil right. It's absolutely a moral right. But when we're talking to the organizations, we're also trying to make the business case that these are people who really want to give you their money. You should make it easier for them. And so, Brian, would you tell them a little bit about what you guys are experiencing with the demand?
Yeah, we've been doing ASL for years. And we do it because we need to do it and because it's a good thing. but very rarely would we have anybody who needed that translation in the house. So we're spending a tremendous amount of money and there's no benefit to anybody. So when we started this audio description, I'm like, you know, we're spending a lot of money and effort. Is this going to make sense? And lo and behold, when we did Rock of Ages, we ran out of headsets, and which was a great thing to have. We had Lucy, who came down from St. Augustine, which was amazing. And just kind of an aside to that, one of my roles is helping with grants and things. And whenever we can tag somebody from outside Central Florida coming to our venue to see a show, that's huge grant fodder. They love that. That's tourist tax dollars. So it's a really good thing for us. We are investigating right now getting a new system in the Garden Theater where there would be no limits on the number of devices, where you would have an app that you download that's free app that would give you the ability to use your smartphone with your own headsets, with your own earbuds, and we could have 293 people seeing an accessible show all on their own devices, and they can sit anywhere in the theater. So hopefully that works out. Stay tuned.
Well, and that's part of the challenge that we're having right now, is that we want to make sure that this is something that the audio description opportunities in Central Florida, ADI is focused on Central Florida right now because we know Central Florida, this is where we live. But for people who are members of the blind community, who are trying to, who want to come and experience live theater, and again, we make the assumption that and I teach this to the leaders that we talk to, is that the blind community is the community. If they're coming to your show, it's for the same reason as everybody else. Maybe they like the theater, like Marcia does. She loves live theater. Maybe they have a child that likes the theater and they want to be able to take their kid to the theater. Maybe they have a spouse that likes the theater and they want to go on a date and not feel like somebody is having to interpret for them and be their unpaid, you know, assistant the entire time. So that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to do that with a very simple phrase. What is the easiest way I can solve this problem? We talked about the websites being inaccessible. Yes, do everything you can like to make your websites accessible, because that's, you know, obviously it's mandated by law. But at the same time, we know that it doesn't always work. So what's the next step? A phone number, good old-fashioned phones, right? So that's what we're trying to help people do. So whenever you're going to see a live theater production or you're calling about it, make sure that you tell them, it's like, I need to get that phone number. Before we move on to the audio description initiatives thing, let me reset my own timer since I ran it on these guys. So the audio description initiative, when we started this project, it was started with Fringe Festival, essentially because we were creating, they wanted to put in their own live description program. The challenge was, is that between year one and year two, it was falling apart because the people who were on staff that led it were no longer there. The people who knew something about it had moved on. So we had to kind of rebuild it again the next year. However, the next year, through an accident, I happened to see a list of shows that were going to be audio described. I called up my friend Marcia and my friend Sheila, and I said, hey, they're doing all of these shows. You want to go see them? So having that marketing and that advertising is also important. We try to make sure that our organizations know that the Audio Description Initiative is not a marketing entity. It's not our job to sit there and make sure all you people come to the show. What we're trying to do is help the organizations market to you, to make sure that you can find out where the shows are happening. I see that Tyson is here. Brian, we need to make sure that you and Tyson connect when this is over, because one of the conversations we had recently was there is no central portal for people in Central Florida to find out what audio description shows are available. Well, there's already a portal. It's called Orlando at Play. The United Arts puts it together. Problem is, if you go to United Arts right now and you type in audio described, nothing comes up. But they're already requiring every organization that takes money from United Arts to send them their show schedule. And there's even a place where they click, is it audio described? But you won't know it unless you know to go through and look for that particular piece. So what we're trying to do is to try and give the education to these organizations to help them help you enjoy the culture that your tax dollars are already paying for. Because if they're getting grants, that's your money. And if they're getting grants, and those grants are coming from the National Endowment for the Arts, They are required, both legally and contractually, to provide access. So these are things that people just don't know. So going back to real quickly about the audio description initiative, our focus is on two things: making it easy and then talking to leadership. Because the other thing that I encounter, and I've encountered it for years, is leaders want to push things down. Oh, just, you know, somebody in the box office can solve this. Oh, let's teach somebody at the front of the house to solve this. The problem is that's ticking a box so you can apply for your grant. Look at all the stuff we're doing to make things accessible. But if the leadership is not willing to take 90 minutes out of their time and learn why all of these things need to happen, going back to Marsha's situation with why does she have to call over and over and over again, right? That's the problem. So the Audio Description Initiative, essentially what we're trying to do is to create a consortium of theaters that can make things easy. We can help them. And then once we have this really built out here in Central Florida, to be able to take it to any other community. Somebody in Jacksonville, sure, we can have the Jacksonville Audio Description Initiative. We can have the South Florida. We can have the Treasure Coast. Anywhere that people want to go to the theater, we can come in with everything and say, here's how easy this can be. So before that, I think that was the main things I had on my list to talk about. Make sure I didn't have anything else. Satellites, areas, partner commitments. Oh, that was the other thing. So what we're trying to do when we're working with the arts organizations is if somebody just calls us and says, you know, we've had a request for audio description, absolutely, we're going to send a person out, we can describe the show. But what we want to do is to create partnerships, and Garden Theater is our number one partner right now, but they make a few commitments to us and to the blind community. Number one, they commit to putting that phone number on their website. They commit to putting the accessibility tab in their main menu so people don't have to look around to it and dig through 15 different clicks to get to it. We ask them to make sure that they're audio describing at least one performance and they're advertising and promoting that. In exchange, what they get, oh, and the one other thing is that they schedule the 90-minute leadership session within 60 days of becoming a partner, because that's the main thing that we need. Everything else that we do is to get leadership, arts leaders in the visual arts world specifically to come and learn about this very important group. And I was about to ask if there was questions. Janine. Janine, I'm bringing you the microphone. Here you go.
Okay. So I want to say it's really important. When you are working with an organization, I started on a committee, the IDA committee with Fringe, and it took 2 years before we got audio description because I could see, and then I went blind, and I'm like, well, we need audio description. So it took forever, and then we had to get grants, and we had to do all this stuff, and yes, the leadership changed, but now that we have it, the leaders still don't understand. I was like, okay, so which show are you going to? Because this year they chose 10 shows to audio describe, and then there were a few that we could request. There were supposed to be more, but anyway, but so the board members, I convinced 5 of the board members, not the staff, but the board members, to go to audio describe, and they said, oh, this isn't good. I'm like, well, it's better than nothing. I'd rather know something than nothing. And like, I was speaking with Marsha, and it's still tricky. Like, you know, her audio box, her headset didn't work in one of the venues we were in, and mine was staticky, but hers just quit. So again, the technology, they got a grant to buy a system. The CFADI system, they only have 8 transmitters, which I think is great that you can loan to the theaters. And I know Osceola Arts, they signed on to be a partner as well. And Station and I are working with some local dinner theaters too. So, but Fringe has grown. The first year we did 4 shows, and I was the only one who went. And then the next year I requested like 20 shows. And Marsha and Sheila went to a few of those. I think they went to 3. And Osla. Yes, and Osla did. And then Terry went. So, and this year was more. So Yeah, I just want to say it's really important for the leaders. You need to have them follow up to go to the audio description so they know what it's like, because they don't understand. They don't, you don't know nothing about us without us.
And that's where the thing that we're, when we're working with the various organizations, is that people who are in the blind community, I have a list of what I call my beliefs and values, and it's a statement of beliefs and values that I came up with after 15 years of not only working with the blind community, but working with the museum community. And you know, just kind of a real quickly, one of the things about that is that we do understand that things go wrong. Technology can fall apart. But we also want to make sure that if somebody calls up and says, hey, we want audio description, and the person says, hey, we'd love to do it, but we don't have any devices, we can say, we got you, boo. We can solve that problem right now. You can either borrow ours or you can rent it, whatever you want to do, and we can move forward. Now, somebody's coming in the back. Are you looking for me? Hi. Okay. But I wanted to make sure that, but we want to make sure that we're solving problems for folks and not creating more and demanding that somebody solve a problem, but not giving them the solution. That's very important. So, but the state and the beliefs and values, one of them is that we all live in the real world. Budgets exist. Time moves forward. I mean, all of these things have to happen. Technical problems are also part of that. But the solution is not, oh my gosh, the technology is a failure. The solution is, bye Janine, that you have, bye Dan. The solution is that you have to test it. Just like every other theater knows, you get before the show runs, you run through your sets and your lights, you run through, you make sure everything's working. You just add this to the list. Check. Things do not have to be hard. And that's what we want to tell folks that we're trying to make when you guys are requesting audio description, when people are providing it. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be intrusive. So for you guys that are still out there, and Janine just headed out, any other questions while we still have the crew? And how are we doing on time? Let's see here. Oh, we've got about 10 minutes left. So do you guys have any questions for the folks who are sitting here in the crew room? Hang on, I'm bringing you the microphone so people can hear you online. Hold on 1 second. Microphone's right in front of you.
Yeah, I just wonder if there was any other tax breaks rather than getting grants and things like that for businesses to
Not that I am aware of. When it comes to, there's two different things. When it comes to funding the equipment and the programs, grants are normally the way that people try to go into those funding. They also will look for corporate sponsors. They can look for private sponsors, angel donors, etc. Tax breaks themselves as part of a nonprofit 501c3, that gives some tax breaks, but that's not special for this particular endeavor or initiative. I don't know, it's like, do you guys, Brian or Larry or anybody else, do you guys know if there's any other special tax breaks for accessibility programs? Shaking the head no, so I'm not seeing anything. Any other questions? I'm out here in the aisle in the hallways for anything. Yes, Alicia, here I come.
There you go. I have a little laryngitis, so I'm going to try to, but I guess the first thing I wanted to just say thank you. Because I've been able to see two of the described shows at Dr. Phillips, and it was pretty cool, and I loved it. And I was there with my husband, and he's usually the one who describes things, and he's not a very descriptive person. So it really made a huge difference in my show going experience, and I love musical theater, so I'm excited about this. But I guess my question is, just as a visually impaired, totally blind person, is there anything that I can do to maybe help the organization or to help Marsha or Brian or anyone that's involved?
That is an excellent question. The question is, what can we do to help move this forward? The number one thing that any person in the blind community can do is go to shows, call and ask, be visible, because part of the challenge that we're having is the out of sight, out of mind problem. It's circular. People say, it's like, well, why should we put an audio description? I never see any blind people at my shows. It's like, well, you don't see any blind people at your shows because you don't offer audio description. So you have to kind of break that cycle. One of the things that I like about Marsha's approach is when she calls, she's like, I am not going to give you my hard-earned money that you want because if you don't offer accessibility for me. That is one philosophy. Ozla, who's not here right now, but she is, we've had this conversation with her. She's like, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to pay my money and I'm going to tell them that I want audio description next time. So those are two approaches to going to see shows and making sure that your voice is heard and letting people know. Also, one of the things that Marcia and I have talked about before is getting to the right person. The right person to me is the leadership. They got to have the word director behind their name. If somebody says like, oh, well, I'm a gatekeeper, you can't get past the box office person. You can't get past this person. Go to the website, find the name of the executive director, send that person an email. Find the name of the head, the president of the board, send that person an email. Because that's why you, when things start to get done, is when folks who are in the position to do something actually do something. And the other thing is to remember, and this is an important thing, we've had a lot of conversations about how, well, people forget about us, they don't care, they make us do this. That's not true. I have never encountered a single leader within the arts community who says, yeah, I don't care about blind people. They don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And that's what we're trying to get past. We're trying to get to the point where we're helping people learn what they need to know to serve a constituency that they want to serve. Every arts organization wants every person to come to their shows. Of course they do. They don't know that they're not serving this one well, and they don't know how to fix it. And the confused mind says no. Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. No, I'm not going to do anything. So, but yeah, the question is, what can you do? Go to shows. Number two, if there is a theater that you know and you like, and they are offering audio description, if it's within your means, buy a season ticket. Season tickets make a difference. Bring your friends, make sure they go. That's probably the two most important things. I'll also ask Marcia, is there anything else that people can do?
I would say those of us with like our GOCB and that too, once you find out about a show that is audio described in the area, you could ask them to send out an email to membership. Because I know that that gets done for, you know, a lot of the shows. So that's something too. And I'm hoping that these organizations too, once they start offering the audio description, they contact Lighthouse. They contact, you know, some of the organizations too. And I've suggested that, and I don't know if they ever do it, but.
Hang on, here's Brian.
Yeah, to answer your question, Alicia, big thing is share the word, spread the word. And don't feel afraid to advocate for yourself. Right now in the theater community, there is a big push called towards DEI. And it is the buzzword in theater right now in the arts. And we need to make sure as blind people that we are part of that discussion. Orlando Play's motto is arts for all, but yet, so we're getting there. And I think the word that we're spreading, there's actually going to be an article about Stacia and I and CFADI in Orlando Arts Magazine next month. There's supposedly an article in the Orange Observer about audio description. So the word is spreading. So I think the first thing is spread the word to your friends. I really want not just, you know, I want everybody who has a visual impairment to come see the show. So spread the word, advocate for yourself. I know Stacia is always available. I'm always available. If you're having challenges, I can always, sometimes it's easier for me as a venue to talk to another venue and say, it's really not that hard. This is all you need to do. This is part of accessibility. Venues don't argue about having wheelchair ramps. They don't argue about having elevators. Why should they argue about having audio description? It's very simple.
And that's one thing with my season tickets to the Broadway series at Dr. Phillips. I buy the cheapest seats. They do have an elevator, and I can get upstairs with my guide dog or my cane, if you know, and stuff. So that's one plus that we do have, is that we don't have to, because we can't really, I mean, I'd have to be like almost on top of the stage, and I still can't really see. I have hardly any central vision. it's so hazy and stuff. So that the other thing I was going to say too is, if you do find something you want audio description, I'd say to try to call at least 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah, that timeline of calling in advance is very important because of the logistics of creating the audio description itself. We have to, the describers have to get a copy of the script. They need to see the production. They need to write an audio describe script. So that's one of the things that makes it difficult to have like the instant on demand, is that the time it takes to put it together. But absolutely call and ask. One of the other things too, going back to that, the statement of beliefs and values, and this is our number one thing, is that self-advocacy, as I've always written down, is exhausting and very often demeaning. And so when we do have the opportunity to have our leadership courses with our directors and our director levels, is we let folks know that it's like, you do realize that every time you say no to somebody, you're telling them to ask harder, ask again, ask more. And that is a gross unfairness to this particular community. It's like you're, because I said, they're not just advocating for them to be able to go to the theater. It's also doctor's appointments and bills and life and school and kids. And every single day is all about asking for access that other people take for granted. So one of the things that ADI tries to do, like I said, the accidental advocate, is I'll advocate, I'll get up in front of anybody and say, here's what you need to do. Ask people who are also sighted to definitely advocate for you and with you. Because sometimes it's like when we've had a couple little situations where I'm like, I'm standing there going, I can see what's happening around us right now, and it's not good. So make sure that you're including everyone on your team. Janine has a very good point, the nothing without about us without us. Marcia is one of my senior advisors. Sheila is one of my senior advisors. Brian is one of our partners. We have a group of people that when I have questions about something, I send out a group email and they send me an answer with 10 different opinions coming back. But I make sure that we're getting consensus before we move forward with a recommendation or a decision. Any other questions? Yes, wait, I'm coming back there. And for those of you who, because a lot of folks know everybody in this room, this is Larry. Larry can introduce himself if he would like to.
Good morning. My name is Larry Watchhorn. I'm executive director for Florida Theatrical Association. We present the touring Broadway shows in Orlando at the Dr. Phillips Center, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami. I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Stacia, to Marcia, to Sheila. I hope you're doing okay, to Brian. What Stacia said earlier, I didn't know what I didn't know until a few months ago when I got to meet Stacia and Sheila and Marcia. And these last few months have been an education opportunity for me. So thank you for what you're doing to help me to see what I can do. I've taken about 6 pages of notes today. So thank you for your time and your words again this morning. Theater is a passion. It's my church. And it transforms lives. I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to experience that if they wish to. I ask for your patience. I ask for your voice, your words. Speak to me. Let me know what we're doing right, what we need to improve on. I want to be an advocate as well. As I said, theater changes lives. It's changed mine, and I want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity for that. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for all that you do. And I'm excited to like come back in a year to see where we are and what changes have been made and what other things we're going to need. So thank you, and have a great convention these next couple of days.
Yes, and I do want to say that is one of the most important things that people can do, is let people know when they do something right. You know, that is incredibly important. I don't want to sit there and say, like, you know, oh my gosh, all blind people must be grateful for everything all the time. That's not true. But I do think it's important to know that people who are trying to do the right thing, if they're making mistakes, that's another one of our values on our list, is that people, we make mistakes, we're going to make more of them. But if we don't make mistakes, we aren't moving forward. One other thing I wanted to talk about, these two people right here, Tyson and Larry, before you guys get away, y'all also need to meet. One of the things that we were talking about is how to bring forward more groups together that have influence within the arts community and within the blind community and within small theaters and large theaters. One of the things that I saw as the problem when I started coming up with the Audio Description Initiative is that the original model, there was two of them. Either an organization like Fringe says, we're going to build something in-house, and then there's turnover and things fall apart and doesn't keep going and blah, 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 that falls apart. Or an individual person like me becomes an audio describer, and then they're running around trying to make agreements and deals with all of these individual organizations. And then you end up with the same problem that Brian just mentioned about ASL, that they produce it, they spend all this money and nobody comes. What we're trying to do by changing a region, not a theater, is the key. We're trying to get the region brought up. We're trying to get the leadership of the region to understand something. And once we get that, then it will go to all the theaters. It should become as much of a given, like we said, that people offer audio description as they do sign language, and nobody balks at the ramps. Nobody bats an eye if there's one guy in a wheelchair in a show. Nobody says, oh my God, we put in those, you know, ramps for just one guy. Nobody says that. So I think that what we're looking at is trying to change the way leaders, audiences, and everyone thinks of audio description, that is just as common as anything else. We are almost out of time. Is there Sheila or anybody else? I don't see, we don't have a room monitor right now, so.
Yes, we do have a hand on the panelist side in here in Zoom. So you can unmute, Sheila.
Oh, Sheila's hand is up. Thank you. Go ahead, Sheila.
Thank you so, so much, Stacia, Marcia, Brian, and Larry. It's so good to hear you there. I appreciate your presentation, and I have loved all of our audio description. In fact, hopefully we are going to one next Friday. So thank you so, so much, guys.
Yes, and that is one of the most important things. It's like next Friday, I think we're going to be, for those of you who do want to go, there's going to be an audio described performance of Into the Woods, Friday, June 9th. I'm going to be there. Sheila, she says she's going to be there. All right, rock and roll girl. Another gentleman from the blind community, Brian Smith, who is also going to be working with us, he's going to be there. So we're trying to build out that group. And then there's going to be Dixie's Tupperware party at Garden Theater. And then after that, we've got Beetlejuice is going to be audio described at the Broadway Orlando. We've got another two more shows down at Osceola Arts for those of you who are live down in the Kissimmee area. So we have, there's a lot going on, and that's just with four theaters. That's just four. There's, oh, and Dream Girls at Garden Theater, that's coming up. So we've got a lot of shows that are coming up. But if we can get another six theaters on board, we would have as much of a vibrant theater community. I see a hand up back over here. Hang on one second. Just a moment coming your way. Oh, no, that's quite all right. There you go.
Thank you so much. My name is Clark, and I'm with the American Council of the Blind, actually out of our national office near Washington, D.C. So far this year at the National Theater, I've seen Tina, Jagged Little Pill, both with audio description, and then this summer, The Lion King at the Kennedy Center with audio description, which not to move the goalposts on you, but have you all offered touch tours of the sets, props, costumes before or after shows as well? Because that is definitely one thing I will be asking for when I go to The Lion King.
And I saw that you wandered in late because we do. Hang on a second. That's quite all right. We'll let Marcia, did you want to answer that one real quick?
So yeah, I actually prefer it before the show. I think it makes a lot more sense. Garden Theater does offer the touch tours. I have talked to Larry and I've talked to Dr. Phillips, and I'm really hoping in the future that we get that opportunity, because I do think it adds. I know in Chicago, even the small theaters and the big, they offer touch tours, which just adds so much more to the experience.
Yeah, and I'm going to walk over to Brian. I have another question, but real quickly, that's another one of those things that a lot of the theater managers and the production company, they don't realize how easy it can be. They think it's hard, and we can make it easy, and that's the main thing to let people know is, like, this does not have to be so hard. Touch tours are critically important. Right in front of you here.
In August, Paw Patrol is coming to Orlando. I'm not sure of the venue, but what is the process that I would do to see that if it's audio described, I'd like to take my grandson to it.
So I'm not familiar with the show, but find out where it's being performed or who the production company is now, today, and call them and say, request audio description. And Marcia, I'm going to let you finish answering this. So it's a show called Paw Patrol is coming, and she wanted to know what she would do to request audio description for it.
Yeah, so look on the website to begin with. You're probably not going to find anything except that service dogs are allowed. But then you're going to have to call. And like Brian was saying, probably try to talk to the person who does the group sales. I would make sure you get a name and a phone number and the days and hours they work. And, you know, go from there. Is that here in Orlando that it's happening? Okay, so if they know nothing about audio description, have them call Stacia. Say, I do have a resource for you that can help educate you about it. Because really, my goal is that kids right now who go to Lighthouse, who have vision loss, they don't have to go through what we have to go through to get audio description. It's just going to be offered normally.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'm going to give you one of my cards before we leave, before you get out of here. And if I can help you to sort through that, like I said, right now we're still trying to figure out what are the best practices for requesting. That's going to be another one of my guides that I put together. Best practice for requesting audio description to make sure that people do know how to request it and what to say when you get the inevitable, oh, sure, we have assistive listening devices. Oh, sure, we have, you know, ASL performances. One question, what kind of show is Paw Patrol?
They have a movie and a TV show. It's like for young children. It's dogs that go and solve missions.
It's a film or a television? It's a television show, but they're bringing a live show to Orlando. Okay, so if it's a live show, that's us. If it's a television show, that would be somebody else. But yeah, if it's a live show, absolutely. And that's something else. It's not just limited to theaters. It's like one of the things Janine said. Janine wants to go see the Pirates dinner show. So we're talking to them. Any place that has a show, if you want to go, call them up in advance. Say, I'm making this request. If they don't know what you're talking about, send them my direction. I will help guide them. And it is important because people who can see, seeing is believing. They really have a hard time picturing something because they don't know what it is. All right, I think I have to wrap up, folks. Is there any other questions before we call this one a day? Wait.
Sorry. Do they write a script? Do they follow a script, a narrator that's describing the show? Do they have a written script there? Or?
Yeah, what they do is they write their own. So they get the actual script of the show in advance. So, for example, they'll get a copy of the Dreamgirls script. I have two describers working for me right now. I'm going to be hiring two more this summer. They will then take that script, and then they will, if there's a video of the performance, they can watch the video to make their notes about what's happening. If not, they'll go to a show beforehand to make sure that they can make notes and describe it correctly, to make sure that they're getting things described that need to be described, like we were saying, to make sure the joke lands, to make sure that if somebody walks in and sets a gun in a drawer, people know that the gun is there. It's the things that make sure that the plot points are moving forward. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, timing is pretty good on the when they're describing that it doesn't mess with the dialogue or anything like that.
It depends on the show. It's like some shows are just, you know, wall-to-wall talking, you know, dialogue. In those cases, they might only have a couple of seconds in between something. If there's something critical, they might say, you know, gun and drawer, you know, something really short. But for shows that do have that space in it, then there's plenty of time. As I tell everyone, audio description is an art, not a science. And the describers, there are sets of guidelines and principles that they follow to make sure that they're not stepping on the lines, to make sure they're not interfering with the production. They're there to support the production, not to take focus away from the production. Are some people better and worse? Yes. Are some people having a good day or a bad day? Absolutely. But for the most part, the guidelines and the training is what keeps the describer focused on the show. Does that answer?
Has your experience been pretty positive with the description?
As a sighted person, I don't know.
It's been pretty positive.
Yeah, let me ask the people who have taken the audio description from our shows. I'll start with Marcia up here. What's your ruling?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, and I've not only done audio description here in Central Florida, I went to Jacksonville to see Come From Away a couple years ago. I've gone to Las Vegas and requested it. it makes, to me, it makes a world of difference. And I think when we went to see, it was, Sheila was with me. We went to see Beautiful, the Carole King musical. She had seen it without audio description, and then she saw it with audio description. And things like, and I still remember this from the Carole King, you know, she was going to Carnegie Hall and her mother was like, are you going to brush your hair? And the audio describer's like, there's a hairbrush on the table. And I'm like, oh my God, that is just like, we would have never known that. Those kind of little details are just to me.
And that's one of the things too about like the sighted thing. Janine mentioned the idea of having sighted people watch audio description. There's one big problem with that. People like, and I, again, I've been working with audio description for a lot of years. If you're sighted and you're listening to audio description, your brain will stop listening to it because it's trying to tell you something that you already know. And I was listening to the audio description for the Gala Pro for Hamilton, because I always like to check them out, see what's going on. But for example, I could see that there were four people on stage, not eight. So that bothered me. And my brain would be like, oh no, that's wrong. Whereas I asked Sheila and Marsha later, I'm like, did that bother you? And they're like, no, we can't tell. What do we care? You know, four or eight, it doesn't matter. The fact that they're dancing is what matters, right? So a person, and that's just because that's the way your brain works. The same way, you know, I'm ignoring all this noise going on to my left right now until I call my attention to it. But when it comes back, I can focus my brain. When I'm competing with my own sight, my eyesight telling me what's going on, and then words in my ear are telling me something different, it creates confusion. And as I said before, the confused mind always says no. So it's good for people who are sighted to experience audio description for a few minutes so they understand what it is, but do not let a sighted person make pass a value judgment on audio description. They don't know. We don't know. Katie just came back in. Katie, are we out of time?
What time is it?
I don't know. Anybody know what time it is? It's 9:03. We are over time, folks. So I don't want to hold anybody hostage. If there are any other questions, please come and talk to me. Please come and talk to Marsha or Brian. Say hello to Larry. Everyone else who is around here, please. We are really trying to bring it. And Craig, thank you, American Council of the Blind. Thank you for coming. I look forward to meeting you a little bit more. Everyone, thank you for spending time with us. And Sheila and crew up there, thank you, guys. Thank you, Rick. We will talk to everyone later. Have a great day. Enjoy the conference.